Game on here. A trade war between the United States and China is here.
Tariffs put in place by the Chinese government in retaliation.
That's not free trade. That's stupid trade. That's stupid trade.
President Trump famously thinks that trade wars are good and easy to win. So what's the evidence from the one that he started? Welcome to Vox Talks from the Center for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Unlike the current US administration, most economists think that starting a trade war is bad policy, but it has been the best part of a century since we had fresh empirical evidence to back that up. That is until recent events. So what has been the effect on the US economy and on the American people of the trade tariffs that the US imposed during 2018? New research by Mary Amiti, Stephen Redding, and David Weinstein has evaluated what they call the impact of the 2018 trade war on US prices and welfare. And David joins us today from Columbia Business School. David, welcome to Vox Talks.
Thank you for having me.
The word war is quite dramatic. So compared to other periods of protectionism, how serious were the tariffs that were introduced in 2018?
Pretty serious. If you look at what happened to average rates of protection on U.S. imports, they've gone up fairly substantially to levels that we haven't seen since the early 90s. So we've rolled back about 25 to 30 years of trade liberalization. Compared to past trade wars, this one is not as big as the one in the 1930s, but it's probably the largest one we've seen since the 1930s. There was a small one that erupted over genetically modified food in the 2000s, but that was relatively narrow. In this trade war, the U.S. has imposed tariffs on about 12% of its imports, and other countries have hit about 16% of our exports. So fairly substantial shares of trade are being affected by the tariffs.
Now, these days, every economics, policy, business 101 course, it teaches us that introducing tariffs reduces welfare. But here we are in the middle of a trade war where both sides have imposed tariffs. So how did that happen?
There are two reasons why we end up with tariffs. The first has to do with political economy. So tariffs often are bad for the whole economy, but they may be beneficial for particular interest groups. And so you have the standard problem of a tariff that may cost the average person a small amount, but it generates a big gain for politically powerful groups. And those groups, therefore, have very big incentives to lobby politicians to impose tariffs, whereas typical consumers are only being affected by much smaller losses, and so their incentives to organize are much less. A second factor that's also important in understanding trade wars is that the notion that free trade is good is true for small countries that don't have much market power. But for large countries or countries that can use tariffs to depress import prices, they can actually gain as a result of these trade wars. And in fact, in earlier research that I had done with some co-authors, we found that if the US were to impose tariffs, there might be some net gains for the United States as a result of those tariffs. So the economics is a little more complicated than what the introductory classes typically teach.
And for those of us who are listening to this who haven't been through those introductory classes, can you go into a little bit of detail about how those financial gains and losses accrue to business and consumers?
Sure. So for the government, the biggest financial gain is the tax revenue that comes from the imposition of the tariffs on imports. Tariffs are essentially taxes on imports. Mm. And so the government gets money from whoever is paying for those imports. And in fact, we've heard the president talk about how many billions of dollars are coming into the U.S. Treasury as a result of this. In fact, in our paper, we estimate it's about $3 billion a month that are coming in these revenues. The problem is that that gain for the government is essentially a transfer from consumers and purchasers of imports who have to pay these new taxes to the government. So that $3 billion is simply a transfer from the purchasers of imports to the U.S. government. On top of that, there is an additional loss that happens because consumers typically will switch to other cheaper sources of supply after the tariffs have been implemented. So you can kind of think about the losses to consumers in a kind of very simple way. Imagine that we're importing washing machines at $100 a washing machine, and the government imposes a 25% tariff on those washing machines. The price might go up to $125 if you were to purchase, say, the washing machines from China, but maybe there are Vietnamese washing machines that are coming in at $120. So consumers may switch to buying the Vietnamese washing machines, but now they're paying $120, whereas before they were paying $100, and the Treasury isn't getting any revenue, so that's just a loss of $20 per machine. And that's what we call either a deadweight loss or an efficiency loss, because no one's happy paying the extra money.
Now, David, this is an economics podcast, and at one level, we have to admit to ourselves that this trade war is amazing because it is an excellent natural experiment, and it can't have been one that you expected that you would ever be seeing.
Yes. So as a scientist or a social scientist and as a researcher, this is a very interesting time period. Mm. Remember, the president was not predicted to win the election. Most forecasts put his probability of winning at 10% or less. And it's probably true that if Hillary Clinton had won the election, we wouldn't be having this current trade war. So this is one of those random events where a few thousand voters in a few states changed the outcome of the U.S. election. And as a result, we got a very protectionist president, and we're seeing this trade war. In many ways, this is an interesting case to study. And I imagine that for decades, people are going to be examining this period in history, much like we looked at the Smoot-Hawley tariffs in the 1930s.
Were you easily able to separate the impact of these tariffs in 2018 from the normal functioning of the business cycle?
Yes, we used what economists call a differences and differences strategy. So we look at what happens to sectors that are targeted by tariffs and compare those outcomes to the outcomes in sectors that are not targeted by tariffs. So let me give a simple example. One of the things that was targeted by the U.S. government was space heaters coming in from China. We can look at what happened to the prices of space heaters coming in from China and compare those prices to the prices of space heaters coming in from other countries and see if there was a difference in the pricing behavior or in the total value of imports coming in. Now, if you thought that there was some sort of business cycle that was affecting space heaters, you'd expect that to have an identical impact on space heaters from different countries. The fact that we can look at the difference between pricing behavior of Chinese space heaters and Vietnamese space heaters lets us identify precisely whether it was the tariffs that was causing the change. Okay. And we've netted out whatever impact business cycles might have on the total demand for space heaters.
And when you do net this out, the space heaters and all the other imports that are affected by tariffs, what has been the net effect on the price of imports into the US?
Well, that was what was really surprising, especially in light of my earlier research. We found that the tariffs were being passed on completely to consumers. Mm. So what that means is that when the U.S. imposed a 10% tariff on space heaters, the price of imported space heaters from China went up 10%.
And also for U.S. manufacturers that are importing intermediate goods as part of their production process, did they then pass on these price rises in the cost of the goods that they made for the U.S. market?
Yeah, we found that the average price of U.S. manufacturing rose by about 1.1 percentage points. That increase was due to two forces. Most of it was due to the fact that U.S. producers were paying more for imported inputs and then passing on those higher intermediate input costs onto consumers. And then a second force that also was important in understanding why U.S. prices went up is that when we impose tariffs, we raise the prices of firms that compete with domestic U.S. producers. And when U.S. producers face less competition, they raise prices because they can raise markups. And that accounts for about a fifth of the 1 percentage point increase in U.S. producer prices.
So two things here. Exporters to the U.S. did not lower their prices to remain competitive. And the U.S. firms who were protected by these tariffs use that opportunity to raise prices to U.S. consumers.
Yes, that's right.
One thing that is new since we last had a trade war, goods tend to be manufactured using a global supply chain, which can be reconfigured to route around a trade war, if you like. That's the theory. In practice, what happened?
There were enormous reorganizations of global value chains. We found that when the U.S. imposes a 10% tariff, we identified a 60% drop in imports in those sectors. Firms were reorganizing their supply chains so that they could source from countries that weren't being targeted by the tariffs. Overall, we found that on an annual basis, about $165 billion of trade is being reorganized or redirected in order to avoid the tariffs.
So that in itself is something that's quite interesting. If we look at countries, regions that might want to start a trade war in the future, this is going to be an impact of it.
Yeah, and this imposes costs that are somewhat hard to measure because firms invest heavily in building factories abroad and in figuring out where the cheapest sources of supply are. And when we impose these tariffs, they have to incur new costs of building new factories and research costs associated with figuring out where to source their products. And these are hard to measure, but there are additional costs of this trade war.
Now, as you point out, there is a certain back-of-the-envelope nature to working out these costs, not least because the situation changes month on month at the moment. But can you add this all up and give us a rough idea of who's winning and losing, but by how much?
Our study focused on the costs to the United States. And there we found that there was a cost to purchasers of imports, which might be either consumers or firms that are buying the imports. And we found that, let me just call them consumers, were paying about $4.4 billion a month extra. Of that, $3 billion was being transferred to the U.S. government, and $1.4 billion per month was just being lost as they were paying more for imports from other sources.
Do we have any idea of the corresponding costs on the other side of this trade war, either for China or for Europe?
At this point, I don't have hard numbers on that. We see that the tariffs that Chinese and others were imposing were also being passed on 100% into those other countries. So I would imagine those countries are seeing similar sized losses. There's some additional evidence that suggests that maybe the losses are even bigger than what we're estimating. That comes from what happened to stock prices in the United States and in China on the days in which these announcements were made. When President Trump announced on March 23rd of last year that he was going forward with the steel tariffs, the U.S. market fell 2.6% on that day. If you look at a three-day window around that day, you find that the U.S. market fell close to 5%. That is a very substantial impact on U.S. equity prices. U.S. equity account for around $30 trillion in market capitalization. So if you do the math, you realize that there were very big anticipated costs. If we look at the stock market reactions in China, we see similar sized losses. So it seems that markets are very much concerned about what is happening with this trade war.
Maybe we are missing the big picture here, David, because this is a short-term financial analysis. There are other factors at play here, potentially the opportunity to make progress on intellectual property rights, for example. So Is it possible that this might be economically a trade war worth winning?
So it certainly is possible. What we do know is that there were very substantial costs in 2018. The magnitude of these costs, if you compare it to the projected losses due to Chinese intellectual property theft, are quite large. So for example, if you think that a successful outcome of the trade war would be to increase the royalties that China pays the US by 25%, it would take 3 years of these higher royalties to pay off the deadweight welfare losses from the 2018 trade war. Now, it is possible that if this war ends and we get that outcome, then maybe in the long run it will have been beneficial. It's probably not the best way we could have proceeded in order to get that outcome. A second thing to bear in mind is that it is also possible that the situation is going to change. So 2018 was a year in which, when exporters faced tariffs, they tended to maintain their prices and pass the full cost of the tariff on to consumers. That could change as we move into 2019, or if this trade war continues longer. It may be the case that if Chinese firms are continually facing U.S. tariffs, that they may start to drop their prices, and that might create some gains for the United States. So it's a situation that's very much in flux. We've gotten the data for 2018, and so that's pretty clear in terms of the damage of the first year of the trade war. But I think what we're learning is that, at least in the first year, trade wars are bad and hard to win. We'll see if eventually, as we move into 2019 and possibly future years, whether that picture starts to change.
From time to time, we like to make our interviewees into the omnipotent policymaker for the day, David. Based on your research and what you know, what would be your recommendation for the best way forward for the US from now on?
I think the best way forward would be to realize that a lot of the issues vis-a-vis China are issues that are multilateral. So think about intellectual property theft. That is definitely an issue that US firms are concerned about, but it's also an issue that European firms are concerned about. And it's also an issue that Japanese firms are concerned about. In fact, if you did a poll of firms in most developed countries, they probably all would be concerned about the theft of intellectual property. What maybe is even more surprising is that probably if you did a poll of firms in China, they also would be concerned about this, because intellectual property theft is not just an issue for high-tech firms in the US, the EU, and Japan, but it's also an issue for these firms in China. And once you realize that, you realize that there's another approach towards getting China to change its IP regime. And that is to work together with Europe and with other developed countries, and also work with China and find domestic allies to try to encourage and maybe put pressure on the Chinese government to improve the regime. The U.S. go-it-alone strategy tends to alienate not just the Chinese, but it alienates many of our closest allies. And so I think that's a pretty counterproductive way of approaching a multilateral problem.
All over the world, trade economists are banging their heads on their desks at the moment about what's happening in the world economy. But if we're looking for some good news for them, and it's a small amount of good news, we seem to be able to say from your paper that our theories of trade and the models that we use seem to be holding up pretty well.
Yeah, it's been amazing to see how powerful the basic framework for understanding tariffs is. And I have to say, speaking from a purely selfish perspective, I've seen that the enrollments in my trade courses have jumped up as a result of this. So for me personally, this has been very good news, even though it's certainly bad news for, I think, the United States and much of the world.
Well, it's good to finish on some good news. David, thank you very much.
Thank you for taking the time.
Now, this is a story in which people tend to argue from their prior beliefs and conventional wisdom. So download and read this paper if you want to avoid what these days we have to call the fake news about the impact of trade wars. Its title again is The Impact of the 2018 Trade War on US Prices and Welfare. And on the CEPR website, it's discussion paper 13564. David, I think there's also a journal publication for this, isn't there?
Yes, the paper is going to be forthcoming in the Journal of Economic Perspectives.
There we are, so look out for that as well. This has been a Vox Talk from the Center for Economic Policy Research. Vox Talks is here every Friday with fresh early stage research in economics. So subscribe on your podcast platform, and we're delighted to see that many of you are doing that now. And also you can still check out the archive at www.voxeu.org/vox-talks.